Oh yeah, folks. It's Carol here with Arts Live and Local. And, not a terribly subtle message from Joel Mabus. It all comes back to you. So thank you for all that you do for KMUN, Coast Community Radio. This is Pledge Week, and this is your opportunity to go online, kmun.org, and pitch in. And I know many of you already have, so big thank you, Cheryl, Sue, and Hervin, and all you anonymi. Thanks, folks. Say you better watch what you say. You better watch what you do. Cast your bread out on the water, it'll soon come back to you. It all comes back to you. Yeah. Well, I tell you to call, but if you've been listening to Arts Live and Local recently, you know that our interviews are on the phone. So I think the phone lines are going to be pretty busy, and you're going to hear from some of the folks very quickly. I first want to thank Pete Seeger, of course, forever, and Ray Charles, who we found out really got into music in the school, which is one of the ways we appreciate the music and the arts in the schools. And to some folks who reached out before the show, just before the show, because they must have known they wouldn't be able to call. So a big thanks to a brand new member, Amanda, in Astoria. And I understand Amanda just moved here recently. And she is a smart woman. She's become a new member and is excited to support the station. We may hear from a friend of Amanda soon, too. We'll see. And from my wonderful friend, whom you listeners all know by now. Used to be Nova Scotia, Carol. Now she's Carol from Squamish, British Columbia, and she called us here at the station. And she says, loves Arts Live and Local and all kinds of folk. And you know, Carol, that'd be Omaha to some people, like Sydney and Robin, and maybe even Sev. Carol and her family listen on KMUN.org. I'd say religiously, but I don't think that's the right word, but you get my point. Thank you so much. I love you. And love to all of you who put out what you know is going to come back to you. And hey, some happy birthday wishes to some other dear friends, including Brownsmead Lulu and Brownsmead John Fenton, even though he's still Brownsmead. And Jilly, one of our longstanding programmers here at KMUN, big shout out, happy birthday to you, and to Tully, whose family are big supporters of KMUN, and to you wherever you are. Take a little birthday joy from KMUN also. Folks, it was a big week for me, very deep, profound, emotional, with C-Star at the Earth and Ocean Arts Festival, a film on Troy Davis, whose execution took place September 21st, exactly 10 years ago, and Audie Barker from Be a Hero, who is long down the line with ALS, but standing with the help of others, mostly sitting in the wheelchair and still speaking out very articulately for health care for all, and for caregivers for all, no matter who you are. So we all have a role to play. And right now, I want to bring on some folks who are playing a role, which is a very exciting one. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the exhibit Eugene Landry, An Artist, A Time, and A Tribe. And that is in the midst of being, it's almost opening. It's going up as we speak, but I'm going to let them tell you about it. I have here in the studio, by phone, Judith Altruda. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Carol.
Okay. And I hear a bit of an echo, so we'll figure that one out. And Judith, many of you may recognize, she's a local artist and used to be a KMUN programmer, and I'm hoping someday she'll come back because she's such
an... It could happen. Good.
There you go. Also, we have Christine Torsett. Hello, Christine.
Hello.
Hey. And Christine is the museum and cultural specialist, along with Earl Davis. Are you there as well?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. We're going to get the best sound we can, folks, but these people, Earl Davis has actually been on Arts before a while back. He's a local artist, carver. He's one of the tribe's, or he is the tribe's heritage, language, and cultural director. And all of this is happening at the Shoalwater Bay Indian Tribe Heritage Museum. Could you pronounce that for me correctly, please? Namschatz?
Namschatz.
Oh, is that the way it's said, Namschatz?
Yep.
Okay. So, Judith, do you want to start, or you tell us? Who's going to tell us who is Eugene Landry, and why is there an exhibit?
I'll start, but I'm hoping you guys will chime in. So I've been on your show before, Carol, and we've talked about it in progress.
Yes.
Gene Landry was a Shoalwater Bay tribal member who he died in 1988, so he's been gone for a while. Prolific painter, and we have recovered a large cache of his artwork.
Okay. Hold on, Judith. Can you see if you can find a better spot to talk from, because we're losing you?
Oh, okay. Okay, how is this?
You sound so far so good. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's spotty here.
Reception. Sure. Yeah, where are you, by the way?
Oh, we are all together at the Shoalwater Bay Heritage Museum, right here on the reservation. Near Tokeland.
Near Tokeland. Okay. Not exactly a metropolis.
No.
In terms of internet connection, telephone connection, etc. Okay, back to Gene Landry.
Okay, so we are installing an exhibit of Eugene Landry's art that was painted during the 1960s and 70s. And quite a bit of it are portraits of tribal members who, when he painted them, they were young people, and now they are the tribal elders. So they have been sharing their stories of Gene and what was going on here at the reservation during that time period. So it's a historical, artistic exhibition. And maybe Earl or Chris wants to take it from there.
Right. And I don't know how old Earl or Chris are. So I don't know whether you were youngers and you're now elders or whether you're still youngers.
Guys?
I would say we're on the older side of youngers.
Yeah, we're not spring chickens anymore, but we're not quite elders yet either.
So did you know Gene Landry, or were you part of the portraits that he made?
This is Christine. I did know Gene briefly. He was a cousin of mine, and my family was very close with Myrtle. Myrtle was my great-great aunt, and we spent a lot of time at her house while I was growing up. Gene passed away when I was very young, and so I don't have too many memories of him, but I do have a few that I treasure.
Can you tell us one to give us sort of a flavor of who he was in context on the reservation?
It's kind of a story that involves Myrtle Landry and Gene, and it's because it always stuck out to me. Gene required a lot of care. He was a quadriplegic, and Myrtle took care of him and looked after him. And we would go to the beach and just sit and visit with each other. And I remember watching Myrtle as an elder taking care of Gene and just how dedicated she was to caring for him. And even as a young child, that really stood out to me. That's just something we do. As Native people, we take care of each other, and we take care of family. And so that was really powerful to me that even as an elder and watching her struggle, she still was very dedicated to taking care of him and making sure that he was included and involved whenever we did anything as a family.
Beautiful. Yeah. Now, was she his mother?
His adopted mother, yes.
His adopted mother. Okay. And so... that's a beautiful story. Now, did you ever see him actually painting? Or were you aware of that?
No. No, my mother, Dawn Wilson and Gene were very close growing up. She got the opportunity to watch him paint quite a bit. She spent a lot of time visiting with him in his cabin that used to be here where the museum now sits.
Oh,
wow. She spent a lot of time visiting with him in that cabin and watching him paint and listening to music.
So the museum is on the same land that he lived on?
Yes. The museum now sits where his the dome that he had built here. That the dome was on the land that the museum now sits on.
I love that. That has a, must have a very strong feeling to it. It's kind of works in terms of the tradition, the passing on of the culture. So I'm just wondering, he died in 1988. 98, that's 33 years ago. And what happened in the intervening years? Did folks know about him, or was his art out and about, or what was, how did this work out? Earl, do you have any ideas on this?
Well, I would say that, you know, my memories of Gene are very vague. I was a small child and would see him in passing here and there, like in the tribal center or something like that, but I was quite young and didn't have much interaction, but I always remember people talking about him, especially after he passed. And a lot of folks that I knew, households had paintings that were Gene's, and his work was here. I mean, in my house was a portrait of my father that hung my entire life that he painted.
Wow.
And that stuff in some ways kind of permeated the community, and people have never forgotten about him.
Well, since you have, is this right, that you're the tribe's heritage, language, and cultural director? What does that mean? What do you have to, what are your responsibilities? Not just
there's a lot.
Okay.
I don't think we have that much time today, but...
That'll be another interview. Well, okay, let me make it more direct. How does that interface with the exhibit that is going up right now? Because it's an artist, a time, and a tribe. So his work must have reflected on some of the past traditions or what?
Well, his work was rather European in influence and contemporary for the times, and not something we would necessarily consider like a tribal artifact, except that it really, especially with the portraits of the tribal members, took a snapshot in time. Mm-hmm. And one of the huge things it's done for us now is, as we've done this work with Judith, it's spurred a lot of the elders to share an awful lot of knowledge of what was going on during those times in the 60s and 70s, which was a very pivotal point for us as a tribe. And so I don't know that Gene ever intended for it, but his work really did create sort of index cards for our history. They brought up, you know, like cue cards for this mm-hmm, was happening mm-hmm. then when my portrait was painted or that kind of stuff. And that's been hugely important. And as a historian and artist myself, I think that those paintings then just become much more valuable to us as a people, even though they may not be tribal art per se, mm-hmm. they are tribal records.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what you just said, I read that the cultural cues, the idea that somebody seeing a painting of herself or himself from 50 years ago, I can just imagine all kinds of doors opening and windows and folks tell storytelling, basically. So isn't that interesting? But that's one of the roles of art. Well, you're an artist. You're a carver, a wonderful carver. I've seen pictures of your work. I've never made it to Shoalwater, to Tokelin. And I know that Judith is an artist. I'm not sure about Christine. Do you make art also, Christine?
I basket weave a little bit, and I paint, but that's just for fun. It's not something that, you know, I would show other people.
Well, but, you know, boy, I can't believe you walked right into that. That's exactly... I didn't set this up. That's probably exactly what Eugene Landry would have said. No. Here, I made a portrait. Here, stick it in your house. It's not for anybody else. I'm not going to share it with people. And now, all these years later, it's just opening a wealth of feeling and stories. So you never know where art is going to take you or what it's going to inspire or whom it's going to inspire. So thanks for saying that. Gives me. Judith, you were on, but I think it's been mm-hmm. quite a while since you told us that. So can you tell us where you found, why you found, and what inspired you to pick up this work? Did you know anything about Eugene Landry before you found the work?
Oh, yes. I knew. I was familiar with him as an artist. I always admired his work. And I met him several times when I first came to Tokelin in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew him personally. But mm-hmm. I knew who he was, and I knew what his art was and how good it was.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, you know, 30-odd years pass, and... a random comment, but made by someone who came into my studio. They asked about the geodesic dome that was Gene Landry's studio, that was right here where the museum is now. They asked me about it, and of course I remembered it. And the next day I went to a winter gathering at the tribal center with my son, and there was a Gene Landry painting hanging in the tribal center as you walk in the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of ticked another bell. So I asked one of the elders there about Gene, you know, did you know him? What was he like? And pretty soon I just had this sort of like being struck by lightning moment of, I want to write a story about this guy. He's, you know, wow.
Yeah.
And started searching out his life story and trying to find more of his art. And that sort of led to this discovery of a huge collection of his work that had been sitting call it an attic, a storage building, the loft of a storage building, since his death, probably, or somewhere, you know, a long time, maybe 25 years.
Not so good for art to sit.
No, not at all.
No.
It didn't have heat or, you know, no power to the building. So it had a lot of, some of them were really water damaged and or rodent chewed. But, you know, the bulk of it really did salvage. It's like it was just was hanging on. So that's, in a nutshell, kind of how the idea, inspiration or came, or the interest, and then finding the art. And then the Shoalwater Bay Tribe and I partnered together, and we got a Humanities Washington grant in 2019, I think it was. I lose time now with the pandemic.
Yep.
to frame some of the paintings and make a website, which we have a really nice website, EugeneLandry.com, and make a book about Gene, a catalog. And the goal was to have an art exhibit, and that was going to open in May of 2020.
Whoops.
And you can guess what happened.
Yep.
So... that's okay. The story continued to grow. I'm writing a book about Gene's life way more in depth. And so we had another date set to open, which was just September 17th, but then we had to postpone that due to another guess-what-related incident.
Yep.
So, third time will be the time, I hope.
Right. And meantime... most of the work has been done, but I'm wondering, I understand there's going to be like 30 oil paintings, and I'm wondering whether there are still some people who are local people from the reservation or from somewhere else, because although I think I read that he was an enrolled Shoalwater Bay artist, but he also had Ho and Quileute descent. So I'm wondering whether there are still people who are learning about this sort of resurgence and of interest in Gene and offering stories.
Oh, yeah. Carol, since we got our latest publicity for the show that didn't quite open when we thought, a man contacted me from Colorado, an artist, a public art sculptor, and he sent me a photo of a painting, his portrait, that Gene made in 1970.
Wow.
Beautiful painting.
Wow.
I'd always wondered if the painting even existed. I'd seen a little museum or a gallery card with a black and white photocopy of it.
Right.
So he contacted me, and he said Gene was his mentor. He was a young, in his 20s, artist taking a break from the U of O, and he came to Shoalwater Bay, and Gene took him under his wing. And then when this guy, Bill, went back to school, Gene corresponded with him.
Wow.
And he sent me pictures of two letters Gene wrote in 1971 and 72. And that is the first words in Gene's own writing and words that I have found during this whole exploration, other than a thank you note that he wrote to the Tokelau Mothers Club.
So, nice.
For a subscription, which is so sweet.
Okay, so let's remind folks, EugeneLandry.com, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, is where you can get lots of information. And will you folks, whoever is in charge of making that decision, let people know on that website when the exhibit is going to open?
Definitely. And social media. We've got a Facebook page.
Oh, what's
called Eugene Landry, an artist, a time in a tribe.
Okay.
If you just typed in Eugene Landry, that would probably pop up.
Right.
So, and on Instagram, it's Eugene Landry Artist.
Nice.
Those are three ways you can find out online. As soon as we have a date, that will be posted. Or if the show just is up and open during museum hours, that will be posted.
I'm thinking we don't have to wait for a formal opening.
Right.
Once you all decide that people can come and visit, be sure to let us know, because I've been looking forward to this for a long time and following. You know, I didn't put this together until just now, but the fact that Eugene Landry, about whom we've just been speaking, was a quadriplegic.
He was a paraplegic from the time of high school till later in his life, then he was a quadriplegic, just to clarify.
Right, okay.
You know, for the listeners.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I opened the show, I don't know whether you folks could hear, but talking about Audie Barker with the Be a Hero, who has ALS. He's basically in the nearly the final stages, but he is still fighting for health care for all, no matter who you are in this, at least in this country, that you deserve care, home care, so that you can live out the rest of your life in dignity. So here's a perfect example. Hey, thank you so much, Christine Torsett, Earl Davis, and Judith Altruda, for joining us here on Arts Live and Local during Pledge Week. I should add, folks, KMUN.org as well. And thank you for putting this together. Will we be able to get more information about Shoalwater Bay at that website, or is there another one? The Shoalwater Bay Reservation have its own website?
Yes, the tribe has their own website, shoalwaterbay-nsn.gov, and that has all, that's the tribe's website. And then I think when you go to that, it'll take you to the homepage where there's community announcements.
Great.
And then the tribe also has a Facebook page where they post pretty regularly, and that's Shoalwater Bay Tribe.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming in and for sharing all of this. And I, and I'm sure many others who are listening, look forward to seeing the exhibit and meeting you in person. I haven't met you, Christine. And we'll see Earl and Judith and everybody else as well. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Carol.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Carol, for supporting this.
You bet. I'm happy to do so. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And folks, we've got some music for you. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Also, KCPB is involved in this pledge drive. So be sure to go online, KMUN.org, make your donation to the station, the stations. And if you like Arts Live and Local, you can throw that in and they'll tell me and I'll know and I'll thank you next week. So right now we've got some music and I think you'll enjoy this. Okay, folks, you get the message. Well, you knew that already, of course. You're listening to KMUN, which shows that you're a thinking person. And you know what? I have someone to thank, not because of money, although you never know, but because he just came to town. And what did he do? Paul, what did you do when you came to town?
I volunteered at KMUN.
Woohoo! Paul, I came in today, and here's Paul sitting at the desk. And if things go well and we don't scare him off, he's going to be here on Fridays connecting us because it's not quite as simple as it used to be, folks. And Paul, why did you sign up for KMUN?
I signed up because I love community radio and everything that it represents and provides for our communities and providing a platform for its members to express themselves and their communities. So that's why I wanted to join KMUN once I first heard about it when I moved in to Astoria a month ago.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now you can go back to work.
Okay.
Paul actually gave me some good news, and I have thank yous for Pam from Young's Bay. Thank you so much, Pam. And from Susan, for Susan from Astoria, in honor of her dog, Shelby. Yes, Shelby, thank you. We love our animal companions. And we also love our people. And right now I have a couple of people on the line who are amazing. They have, oh man, they have done so, so much in our communities. Now, they are from Klatskanai, which is down the road a piece, but it's on the Columbia River. And Elsa and Dee Woolley. Are you there, folks?
We are.
We are, oh, yes.
Great.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. I am so, so glad you joined us today. Because, well, I don't even know when I first met you, but it was when Clatsop and Columbia County were trying to put together a joint arts council. And yeah, that was way back.
It was
way back.
Many years ago, yes.
Way back. And it kind of fizzled. However, you did not. The two of you just kept on moving. And here we are today, if I'm correct, this is 32nd year of the Performing Arts Series?
It is. It's amazing, isn't it? And it really is the 33rd, but we didn't get the count last year.
Oh, okay. Right. So in terms of years. So why don't we, well, I can tell people. The name Dee, or Donovan Woolley, is well known in Klatskanai because, correct me if I'm wrong again, but you taught band for what, 30 years?
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. In the, what was it, the high school and middle school? Was it one kind of joint venture, or how did it work?
Yeah, pretty much the high school. Started out having grade school, high school, and the whole thing, but then eventually we got somebody in the middle school to help out. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun.
And when you first started the Klatskanai Arts Commission performances, where were they?
They were at the high school in the auditorium there, and it was started, actually, Elsa and some piano teachers started the whole campaign to get it going, and in 1988, I believe it was. So, yeah.
Wow.
It's really good.
Yeah. So
our goal yeah. way back then was to buy a grand piano so the piano students could play. So our theme was 88 and 88.
Oh, I love it. The 88 keys. Very. So that's a good way to remember the year.
Yes.
Too. So did you think at that time that it would become so consistently excellent and ongoing?
No.
Was that your...
No,
I mean, you just told us you were going to buy a piano. That is a far cry. It's a good start, obviously. But that's a far cry from what's going on there today.
Well, you know, we did purchase a piano, and the first performing arts series was all with pianists to honor the piano.
Ah.
But there was such a community joy with this music and this live music that I think that we just knew we couldn't stop here. We had to just keep expanding. And so here we are, 30-plus years later.
It's fabulous. So you already started this year's Performing Arts Series. Actually, at the beginning of September, on the 3rd, I hosted Brian Bergman with the North Coast Big Band, and he was kind of like, the Big Band was kind of like a prologue. Is that what you would call it for the Performing Arts Series?
Definitely. We always start our series, well, for many, many years, thanks to the North Coast Big Band, Big Band in the Park. And we have a free concert on Labor Day. And that's when we kick off our season, pass out all the brochures, celebrate with cake. You know, kind of just it's just a community, and it's grown. We have, and a lot of car clubs will bring their old cars and display them on the park on the lawn, and so it's just a fun day.
As a matter of fact, Brian outed you, Dee, because I said, "Now wait a second, how did the antique cars, vintage cars, get together with the music?" And he said, "Dee woolly. But I think that's a wonderful combination because you get people from each of the populations, a nice crossover and extend.
Right.
Yeah. So who is the committee and who chooses the art and how do you manage to afford this? Because Klatskanai is not big. And then the fabulous Birkenfeld Theater. Wow.
Well, we have a variety of people that have been on and off the board over the years, but it's always been people that just have a love for music. We've had teachers, we've had construction workers, we've had, you know, just a multitude. We now have a 16-year-old on our board, which is fabulous because
nice.
It gives us a whole new outlook on what people like.
Yeah,
and,
beautiful.
So,
yeah.
Yes, it's so that's great.
And two of the current members were former band students of mine.
Lovely.
So,
right.
Twisting arms.
Yeah, right.
Their chance to be part of this. So do you cooperate with some of the other theaters in the area to be able to bring in all this? And then give us a couple of examples of what's coming up.
We don't do a lot of with Longview and Astoria only because we draw from your area for our performances. We work a lot with the Sunday series up in Raymond, Virginia, up there. And we work with the Lady in the Dalles and down the coast, Lincoln City. We kind of get together. We go to an Arts Northwest conference every year and listen to different acts, and then we get together and try to figure out who would fit our community and who we could afford.
And coming up, our next concert is one we're very excited about. Is we're having violinist Aaron Myers from Portland come out with his group. And I know that at least the bass player, Dave Capteen, has played in Astoria with Dave Drury.
Right.
So
when is that?
That is October 2nd, which is Saturday night at 7:30.
You know, that's very soon.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's next week, a week from tomorrow night. Okay. So how often are you doing this? Is it every few weeks or once a month? Well,
in the fall, we started out, we already had a bluegrass concert on the 19th. We had the Bloomer family from Mist, as well as the Fernhill Grange Band, which was very well attended. People loved it. And then we'll have Aaron Myers on the 2nd of October. And on December 12th, we're having Men of Worth, which we have had before.
Yes.
However, this time they are bringing they're adding a fiddle, an Irish harp player, and an Irish dancer. So it'll be a wonderful Christmas show
that
will be on December 12th, which is a Sunday afternoon.
And they are terrific. So how does someone find out everything you're doing? And do you need to buy tickets in advance or what?
We like if they do.
Okay.
But we have a website, klatskanaiarts.org, and they can go on there and see our whole season, and they also can purchase tickets. We always have them available at the door, but it's kind of nice to know ahead of time.
Right.
If they want to buy them ahead of time. It makes them feel secure, and it kind of gives us an idea, too. And we are requiring masks because that's a state mandate, and people have been very nice about doing that, so that's a protection for us all.
Good. I agree. So now, what's the story on the Birkenfeld Theater? I have to say that I was in a bus going to the Vietnam Memorial in Longview via yesterday. God, time is fluid. Yesterday. And I kept looking out the window, and I did not see or don't know if I saw the Birkenfeld Theater. Is it right on Route 30?
It's right, you know, with the our one stoplight in Clatskanie.
Yes.
If you look to the right as you're coming from Astoria, you look to the right, it's the big brick building. It used to be an Odd Fellows Lodge, and it's really called, The building itself is called the Clatskanie Cultural Center.
Oh, okay.
And the Birkenfeld Theater is located inside it.
Okay.
And you have to really look at the building straight on to see the names.
Okay. But it's just to the right, south when you're and mm-hmm. east of the light. Okay. Because I did see one great big building, and I thought, well, maybe that's it. But how? And they wouldn't stop the bus for me. So I figured I'm just going to ask you. And so how many seats are there?
There's 165 seats in the theater.
Nice. Lovely.
It's very nice.
So it's intimate and yet roomy for a mm-hmm. space like that. So it's a terrific accomplishment. What else goes on at the Clatskanie Cultural Center?
Well, the front offices are for the city of Clatskanie. So they're there every day during the week. And we have a courtroom, but the upstairs has a beautiful 1,800 square feet ballroom.
Mm.
And we have many activities there. We have meetings, we have wedding receptions, birthday parties, all kinds of things. And it is gorgeous. We have the original 1926 floor there, and it's a gem.
What was the building? What was happening with the building before? You folks,
Well,
he's laughing.
Originally, there was a movie theater in there, and then when that closed, a high school student bought it thinking that he would have a teen center, and mm-hmm. pretty much just kind of gutted the place, and then I believe sold it to his brother, who decided that he would take the floor out of the theater. And he was growing marijuana.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, then, but the police station is right on the corner, so that didn't last very long. And after that, it got sold to a person who, I guess you could say, was a collector, maybe a hoarder.
Yeah,
it got filled up with amazing, I mean, it was just top to bottom filled
stuff
with junk.
Yeah.
But the saving grace was that in the ballroom he had so much stuff and the roof was leaking so badly that it actually saved the floor.
Oh, wow. It protected.
So,
oh, how, you know, see, we never know.
Yes.
As I say, one man's junk is another man's treasure. And in this
That's
case,
right.
The treasure was saving the floor. I love it. That's a great story. So how did you folks become able to purchase it?
Well, actually, it belongs to an organization called the Clatskanie Foundation.
Okay.
And it's a nonprofit, and we partnered with them. I'm on the board for the foundation, but the Arts Commission partnered with them and just started a fundraising drive. $3.3 million was raised to restore the building.
Beautiful.
And it was all private money. We didn't have any government money.
Mm.
And it was just a wonder. We call ourselves a dream team because it just happened to be a group of people that all had strengths in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't step on each other's toes. We all just did our jobs. And and we're still all friends today, and
nice.
That's a miracle, as you know.
Yes.
But the Clatskanie Foundation is really the owner, and we are mm-hmm. allowed, because of the time we put in, to use the Birkenfeld Theater. We manage it
mm-hmm.
and upkeep it so that we can provide all this wonderful music that people are so. That's why we're so happy that KMUN has been able to provide this wonderful music opportunity during the years when everything was shut down. And so thank you.
Thank you.
I hope your fundraising drive goes very, very well.
Thank you, Elsa. Elsa and Dee Woolley, the heroes of the Clatskanie arts scene. And go to...
Actually, Elsa's the hero.
I see.
Dee's the face, though.
and that sounds like a good team that right there. So,
yes.
The website, clatskanieArts.org.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, and find out everything you need to know, and then go to one of the concerts and be delighted. Now, I've been to the concerts, but before they were in the new building, so I'm looking forward. Yeah, that's why I couldn't find the theater.
Yes,
so it
you must come.
I was there BC before COVID, so I'm looking forward to it. Thank you
Wonderful.
So much, both of you, for what you've done over the years, for what you keep doing, and for joining us here on Arts Live and Local.
Well, thank you, Carol. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Right. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, got some more music for you. This is KMUN.org. Press that button and make your donation and see if we can keep on keeping on. I've got one more guest and not much time, so I'm going to go right into this music. This is Michael Jonathan, and with Autumn Song. He does a program called Wood Songs that KMUN airs every Monday night at midnight. Well, that was Michael Jonathan, and he's a real upbeat kind of guy. But you can hear him on Monday nights. And we're having a little telephone connection problem, unable to reach my last guest. So let me just remind you that you can reach us. You could probably even call us, 323-520-0010, because the phones are open. But I also want to remind you that tonight there is a very special function, and that is at Kala on Marine Drive. Heather Hershey is hosting First Person author talks, and her guest is Deborah Reed with Pale Morning Light with Violet Swan is her latest book. I was totally enchanted by it. It's a beautiful book. Actually, Deborah was on Arts last year. She's the owner of Cloud and Leaf Bookstore. You can go over to Kala this evening, 7:30. The tickets should be at the door. So check it out and support more local arts. Also, Clatsop Community College registration, clatsopcc.edu. Is Nancy Cook, let me know. There's Humanities 102, talking about food. And there is creative writing, poetry. There's 2D art and 3D ceramics. And there's a ukulele class I just read about in Coast Weekend. But get there now. And what my guest was going to be telling you is if you write poetry, get on it. Because there is the Writers Guild is offering a poetry competition open to Clatsop Pacific Tillamook Wakayakum residents. The deadline is October 1st. The theme is tradition. And it's inspired by Jericho Brown. He is going to be here on November 5th, and the winners will be able to work with him and also receive some cash, and they'll be on the Writers Guild website. So check that out and join in if you can. Also, tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the Cannon Beach Park on 2nd Street, there is a tribute concert. It's going to be fabulous. Maggie Kitson tribute, our beautiful Maggie Kitson. Lots of folks. I think Bridget may be organizing it. I'm not sure. Maggie has so many musical friends, some of the best in this area. 5 p.m. tomorrow evening in Cannon Beach. Also tomorrow evening, 7:30 at the Liberty Theater is the Pink Floyd tribute band. Go to libertyastoria.org. Get your tickets. Pigs on the Wing. Okay? I bet the box office will be open too, but better go to libertyastoria.org and find out more about it. The Sou'wester is offering 8 o'clock Lasers Birmingham, a country musician. Fun name. And I also, whoops. What do I have? I'm not even sure what I've got here, but, oh yeah. I remember.
Give us your money, give us your change. Might hear something funny, might hear something strange. All the information that you need to know. Brought to you right here on your your money, we need your time. Can you spare some quarters? Can you spare some dimes? We gotta have your help to continue the show. All of the music you love on your to hear the stuff you won't get from those that sell fear. This is the station, and our members make it go. All of your music and news on your coast radio.
Okay, KMUN.org, and we'll see you next week. Be sure to pitch your pennies, etc., into the pot. Thanks, folks. And if you don't remember how, you can call us right now, 503-325-0010, KMUN.org. By the way, for the poetry, thewritersguild.org will get you the information you need, but you better hurry up. And stay tuned for all the wonderful programming here at KMUN. And join us, writers at Kala, this evening, 8 o'clock. Doors open 7:30.